Holistic Healing Season 2 with Vasudha Rai. Holistic Healing with Vasudha Rai brings you the finest traditional practitioners and modern medicine doctors from India and around the world to help enhance your health and quality of life. Rai is an award-winning, best-selling wellness author, columnist, and yoga teacher who moderates each episode so that there are actionable takeaways that you can utilize to transform yourself from inside out.
Welcome to Season 2 of Holistic Healing with Vasudha Rai, and this is your host, Vasudha Rai. Today, I will be talking to Nidhi Pandya, an Ayurvedic doctor, TEDx speaker. She stays in New York, but practices all over the world. Welcome to the show, Nidhi.
Thank you so much, Vasudha, for having me. It is such an honor to be here.
Likewise. We're talking about migraines today, Nidhi. I mean, I personally suffer from migraines. When I say suffer, I suffer for days from migraines. And I just, you know, I'm tired of popping pills, painkillers. And I was really wondering, like, what is the Ayurvedic perspective on migraines? And what are the causes to begin with?
Right, right. So, I mean, anybody who has experienced a migraine or has seen anybody experience a migraine sees that there's this kind of heavy throbbing pain, right? And then if you kind of go a little bit deeper, right, then you notice, yeah, there is, for a lot of people, there's photosensitivity, which means if there is a lot of light, they can get affected. If it's heat, they can get affected. There's sounds, they can get affected. Now we go into the Ayurvedic understanding of this. This is, migraine is a disorder which is related to blood vessels and the overall quality of your blood. Now, I'm going to simplify this, Vasudha, and I'm going to say, imagine a pipe which has like some lava going through it, right? Or like some hot tar going through it, right? It's really hot and it's tar. And what happens when things start bubbling and boiling inside, right? So basically, it's the quality of your blood has become thick and slimy and hot. And think of it like it's almost like a subtle bubbling that's happening in your blood vessels. And when that happens, right, when that onset of that happens, the bubbling creates a little bit of wind effect. So in Ayurveda, we can say that migraine is like it's a disorder where pitta is seriously aggravated. And when that pitta is aggravated, then there is a kind of trapping of wind in the upper region of your, you know, above your neck and above. Somewhere in your head, that wind gets trapped. It's unable to move through. So it's basically when your blood loses its normal viscosity and temperature, which is supposed to be nice and warm and moist, nothing hot and bubbling. When that happens, and we can go into the causes, of course, then an onset of migraine can happen. And of course, you know, a lot of people feel like, hey, you know, the migraine happened because of the sun or the migraine happened because of caffeine. But what I want to say is that those are just triggers. That is the last drop in the cup for the cup to overflow. The causes of that migraine building to that point are way before that trigger happens. And we can get into that, Vasudha. If you have any follow-up questions from here, we'll take them. Otherwise, we'll get right into what those causes can be.
So this thing that you told me about, like blood vessels, is this the explanation of Ayurveda, or is this the modern medicine explanation as well of why migraines happen?
So I think a lot of the modern world also believes in things like this. I mean, people have, even in the Ayurvedic world, right, it's called Ardha Avabhedaka. And we consider it as like pitta and kapha are aggravated, it pushes the vata to the head. So it's a very similar explanation. For the lack of better terminology, I'm using blood vessels. But it begins at pitta entering your blood vessels and your lymph, your plasma, your blood. And when that pitta gets into it and creates this bubbling impact, especially in a region which can affect your neck and above, a migraine can, you know, you can have an onset of a migraine.
And are certain types of people more prone to migraines? Is it genetic? Is it like lifestyle based? What are the causes?
Right. So, of course, right, because some people will always be more prone to migraines than others. And that could be genetic, which could also mean. So when your body is sensitive to heat and your body is sensitive to pitta or is predominantly pitta dominant, the chances of you getting a migraine are higher. Now, when you say, hey, can it be genetic? For sure, right? Because genetically, you could be carrying those types of pitta genes. It could be passed on from mother or dad, you know, from egg sperm to sperm or things, a condition in the womb, and that can be passed on. So we can be born with being prone to a certain, you know, a certain tendency. So that can happen. That could actually become our genetic makeup. And then you come onto the planet and you're basically, you know, that's what you're living with. So that can happen. But it does not mean that because you're genetically predisposed that you must have migraines. It's not always true. Because there's a lot that can be done in terms of your lifestyle, diet, food, etc., that you can change that environment that's happening in your body. You can change the way, the viscosity and the temperature of the blood. You can keep everything cool and flowing. And when you find ways to do that over a long period of time, then you may be able to reduce or even kind of do away with your migraines. The one time it becomes really hard is when it goes all the way to your hormones, right? Hormones. Hormones are essentially these fiery, energetic fluids in our body, which create some sort of transformation or the other. Like estrogen will allow you to build, testosterone will allow you to do something else. But they're all really hot, right? Hormones are hot chemicals. And when you have hormonal disturbances, right? And when your hormones, when the heat is at the level of the hormones, because of either excessive birth control pills or just other hormonal disturbances, that can become a little bit harder. And even then, I will tell you, Ayurveda offers some really beautiful and easy remedies to get past those.
I just wanted our listeners to understand exactly what this pitta is. Pitta or pit, what is it?
So, you know, our body climate, Vasudha, as I personally call it, the inner climate, right? So this is a climate that our body thrives best in. And that's like a warm and moist climate, like our breath, our gut is warm and moist, probiotic. But what happens very often, certain people, their bodies can go a little bit cold and sluggish, and you call that kapha. There are some people whose bodies become really hot. So that can manifest in a really hot digestion, acidity, burning, hot flashes, acne, rashes, sensitivity to the sun, quick transformation with the food, hot digestion. These are few of the symptoms, and you may not have all of them, but basically if your body has a tendency to transform things very quickly, to stay in that high temperature zone within, that's called a pitta tendency. And then there's a vata tendency, which is like more drier bodies, right? So basically to say that we all have these three, we call them doshas in Ayurveda. We have all three doshas. When they are in balance, your body will have a really nice temperate inner climate. But when one of them is in exaggeration, then it will not be in that zone of warm and moist. It could be cold and sluggish. It could be cold and dry. It could be hot and humid. So this hot and humid climate, which can happen in the body, that's called pitta.
All right. So we were talking about, then you were telling me about the tendencies.
Causes.
You know, it's not necessary. Causes, and yes. So let's continue with that.
Yeah. So now let's go. Now we've understood basically what the pathology is. Pathology is things become hot and humid. They start bubbling. You know, they kind of start creating this kind of imbalance in the body, goes to your head. Wind gets trapped, throbbing happens, migraine can happen, right? Now, but where does this begin? Where all can this begin? Of course, a predisposed tendency towards that heat and humidity inside your body internally is one. But, you know, one of the things that people miss is long-term, what we call in Ayurveda is called Vegadharan, which means you're suppressing your natural urges. So if you want to pee, if you want to, you know, pass gas, if you want to have a bowel movement. And when we kind of hold those urges in, again, it creates an imbalance of vata in your body. And that becomes a cause, right? That, of course, and accompanied by many other causes. So what are the other causes? When you've had indigestion, either you've eaten poor food combinations, very junky foods, processed foods, which have affected your blood. And you've had indigestion for a really long period of time, but not paid attention to it. That can also become a causative factor. Constipation. One thing that people forget is constipation. I mean, when your indigested food material, right, is sitting in your intestines or your gut for a long period of time, it starts to ferment. Again, that heat and humidity seriously builds up. If you've had extended periods of exposure to the sun and you've not protected yourself from it, that can happen. There are other issues of the mind, like there could be anger and there could be jealousy. Again, hot emotions, right? Anger is hot. Okay, jealousy is hot. Right. Anxiety could be dry. Anxiety could be drying. You know, anger and jealousy are more hot. Even over passion, right. Overdrive. These are all hot.
Right.
Alcohol, right? Alcohol is again heating to your blood. Caffeine, again heating to your blood. Hormonal. When you take a lot of
people get after alcohol they get migraines.
Exactly, Vasudha. So we always ask ourselves, what is going to really do this? Change this temperature of my body internally. And when you're prone to it, a lot of people could do this, get past it. Nothing could happen because they have a buffer inside, right? But if you have a tendency, if you're more prone to it, then all of this, right? Anything that can bump up that intensity in your body, even sleep patterns for that matter, right? Because when you're sleeping, you're essentially healing for free. Like your body just finds its balance. It works, does everything to find it balanced. And one thing I actually want to say, Vasudha, which again is missed off very often, is fasting. Excessive fasting can also cause migraines. And the reason for this right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen that, right?
I felt it. I feel that, yeah.
Yeah. And that can happen because you know what happens? Your agni, or let's say your digestive juices, will still come up. You may be fasting, but your juices will come up and now there's no food. And these juices kind of like say now, okay, there's wind and the wind gets trapped above your neck. And then all of these juices that come out now have no other choice but to heat up your body internally.
Makes so much sense.
So basically all of these reasons come together, right? So I tell people that, you know, you want to be careful of migraines before you get migraines. These are the factors where you say, am I constipated? Do I have indigestion? Do I have excessive exposure to heat in my body? And you know, Vasudha, for women, it starts showing very early on. Sometimes we see hot periods. Sometimes we see clots in our periods. We see intense periods and acidity and heat. That's when you start paying attention, because once that happens to your blood, which is really what transports nutrients across your body, you don't know where it will manifest, whether it will be a skin disease, whether it will be a migraine, whether it will be an autoimmune. We don't know, but it can manifest very quickly into a certain imbalance or disorder.
Oh my God. Okay. So what do we do? How do we keep our blood healthy and cool and, you know, the perfect consistency?
So one of the things that I'll say is, right, like, especially as Indians, right, we've kind of really started enjoying our oils and our spices. I mean, back in the day, Vasudha, we were all living on farms. We were all getting our foods from the farms, whatever you got in season, we were cooking in the kitchen. In the last 100 years, that has changed, right? Plus, we've kind of made ghee this beast where we're like, oh, ghee is really not healthy for you. So we've gone into oils. But I just want us to think about it, right? Ghee comes from milk, and ghee, which in Ayurveda is considered cooling. Milk can be inflammatory for a host of different reasons, and that's milk in its pure form, in its, polluted, corrupted form. But especially A to Girkav ghee, is called Deepana and Pachana in Ayurveda, which means it really kindles, really keeps, it's like the flame, it's like the ghee ka diya, the ghee lamp, very slow burning out. And I tell people to do this experiment. I tell them, you take ghee in an oil, like in a lamp, and you take oil and see which one burns out faster. The oil will burn out faster.
Interesting.
So oil is made from seeds. Seeds carry a lot of heat inherently because they need to sprout into plants, right? So they carry a lot of heat. So we use a lot of seed oils, right? So I tell people that limit your oil intake. Limit your tomatoes can have a very similar impact on the blood. Limit your spicy intake. Increase foods like rice and coconut. Do not over snacking, right? Snacking all the time, also anything that kind of creates a buildup. When you're snacking excessively, often it'll lead to constipation, and then again there will be a buildup of undigested waste. So the steps are many, from eating cooling foods like coconut, rice, ghee, milk, to avoiding heating foods, to really timing your foods well. Am I eating good 3 meals? Am I squaring out my meals with my heaviest during my lunch, with a nice warm breakfast and a light dinner? So basically from anything, right, from including cooling foods like coconut, rice, milk, jasmine, moonlight, sleeping well, wearing white clothes.
Moonlight?
Yeah, I mean, and we'll definitely get into moonlight as well, Vasudha, because it is very important and it's very often missed. To avoiding heating, foods and lifestyles and substances, whether it's excessive exercise, whether it's excessive fasting, excessive eating, you know, excessive stress, excessive jealousy, excessive anger, all of those things, right? So always, like my mantra for balance is always ask yourself, am I overheating your body? Am I overcooling my body? How do I stay? And traditionally, all our foods, which had nice ghee, vaghar in it, kept our body in a warm and moist space. That warmth that comes from the spices and, you know, the moisture that comes from the ghee, we always kept in balance, right? But there's certain culprits that are very easily found. A lot of garam masala, a lot of green chilies. There are certain things, Vasudha, which wants people who are prone to migraine. So the first set of protocols that I gave of foods to avoid, foods to include, they're for everybody. They're universal, right? For anybody who has even slight tendency towards this pitta that
migraine,
we talk about.
Okay.
But for people who have an active history of headaches or who are prone to headaches, then I will just give you a few things that they can avoid and then we can get into actual remedies. But few things for them is avoiding really strong fragrances. For a lot of people, that can really trigger. Sleeping well becomes even more important than the average individual. I tell them, never fast. I say, you want to give up eating at sunset? That's your best idea of a fast. No fast beyond that. I say, yes, you want to avoid caffeine, but you also don't want to give up caffeine overnight because the withdrawals from the
suddenly
caffeine can,
you'll get,
if you're used to having, in Ayurveda, Vasudha, it's amazing because we actually have a formula from how do you go from something that you're used to some, you know, to kind of weaning out of it. There's a numerical formula for it. And then how do you introduce a replacement food? Yeah. Which is, it's brilliant. There's a numerical table for it. Right? And then I say avoid spicy and pranayama. You know, if you're holding your breath in pranayama, a lot of people miss this, that they're holding their breath for a long period of time. That can actually trigger a migraine. Of course, eventually we can talk about what you can do. Yeah. And then, of course, there are many do's, specific do's for those who suffer from migraine. I'm sure we'll get to it in our conversation, but we just wanted to talk about broad causes, broad do's and don'ts for everybody, specifically for those who have migraines.
So let's talk about the remedies now, you know, because I'm sure people are like really wanting to know if something they can do naturally, that'd be wonderful.
Let's talk about some of the karmas, right? So we're going to break this into the karmas, which means procedures you can actually do. Some of the lifestyle stuff that you can do, some of the herbal medicines you can do, and then home remedies that you can do.
Okay.
So there's something called shirolepa, right, which is applying a paste of sandalwood.
Lovely.
Yeah. And that's why it feels so great and relaxing. And, you know, some of the substances that are used are either sandalwood or chandana, karpura or camphor, and jatamansi. Now, which one will work
for? Okay.
Yeah, like powder jatamansi. You make a paste out of it with a little bit of water and or like even aloe vera, and you just put it on that side where you're feeling the migraine on the temples. Okay. So now people ask me which one would work for whom. You know, you will know intuitively, right? Karpura is stronger. Jatamansi is more grounding. Sandalwood is more cooling. I think people automatically sense into the properties of their own migraine and they can tell. The other thing is that would you agree, Vasudha?
I would, because, you know, whatever smell makes you feel like, oh, this is feels soothing, I will apply that. Because when you're having a migraine, your sense of smell is so sensitive that even food-wise, you know that this food is going to make me feel better and this is probably going to make me throw up.
Exactly, right? So then you will know intuitively which one works. The dhara. You know, you may not always have the heart to go for a dhara. Dhara is pouring of oil, but it can be done even a few times. Yeah, and you can do it even before the onset of, you know, when you're feeling the aura.
But
you
can
actually
do it at home, no? Can we do shirodhara at home?
So, you know, you can do your own dhara. Like, so of course you need to create an apparatus. And if you feel like you are, you know, you're prone to to migraines, and it's something you could use every month. You may not have to get the whole bed, etc., right? But all I say is get one of those olive oil bottles in which, you know, you keep olive oil, which has a nozzle, a thin nozzle, and you put your oil in it. And then you just actually keep a little bucket or a tub underneath, you know, where your sink is, and you just pour that on you.
On your third eye.
Yeah, so you know, the dhara is traditionally on the third eye, but basically traditionally on the third eye, and then you're kind of moving it around. But wherever you're feeling, you can start at the third eye, but you can move it around to other parts of the forehead. You'll know automatically what makes you feel better, where it's feeling better, where that soothing impact is happening the most.
What oil should I be using for this?
Chandanadi. So the one oil that I really recommend for this is Chandanadi, which is quite easily available as well in Ayurvedic stores.
Right. And how long should one do this, Dhara?
So, I mean, look, ideally, if you go for a procedure, they will basically do it for good 10, 12 minutes. You know, they'll do a little pre-procedure, post-procedure. So if you can get yourself to an Ayurvedic center, please go ahead and do that. But that's not always possible. So when it's not always possible, I say you want to use that big 16 ounce of olive oil, you know, bottle with a nozzle, and at least do it 3 times till the oil is still warm. You know, within 3 times, it's going to get cool off. And you can even do it a few times a day if you find relief. Like you can do it up to 2 times a day if you find relief. Of course, you are going to be fully loaded with oil and lathered with oil, and you can't really step up.
But it's a good idea for that, I hope.
Yeah, you know, and also, Vasudha, sometimes people are locking themselves for like 3 days inside the house. So if that is the case, then, you know, this at least once a day would not hurt. Of course, you don't want to step out into the wind after dhara. You definitely don't want to do that, because then that's going to actually trap vata even more, or like trap that little wind aspect even more in your head. Then the other procedures are oil pulling, you know, oil pulling or kavala, where you take oil in your mouth. And again, you want to use Chandanadi or Mahanarayana. You can just actually rinse. So you can take that Chandanadi and you can rinse your mouth with it for a while till the consistency of the oil changes. You can even just hold it in your mouth, and you don't have to swish it around. So either you swish it or you hold
it. Like a gandusha.
Basically, gandusha is holding it, kavala is swishing it, right? So absolutely, you can do kavala or you can do gandusha, you're right. And again, Chandanadi or Mahanarayana. Mahanarayana, I find easily available.
Do you do this in the morning after brushing your teeth, like the way oil pulling is done, as a regular practice, or do you do this after I've got a migraine?
No, so you want to be able to do this every day if you can, right? But you can use sesame oil every day if you want. But when you know you're getting the onset of a migraine, Mahanarayana is an oil you can use every day. So if you were using Mahanarayana Taila, use it every day. Let's say you don't have the time to do oil pulling every day. You at least want to do it when you get the migraine, or you have an aura, you can do it then.
Okay, all right. Interesting.
And then one of my favorites is Nasya. Absolute favorite is Nasya. And you can use, for a regular basis, we can use Anu Taila or Shadbindu. I like Anu Taila, especially for India, the Indian climate. But when you have a severe migraine, I actually tell people you want to take a little bit of ghee, mix 2 pinches of sugar in it, put a strand of saffron, right? So one strand of saffron or kesara, good quality, warm it up on the stove, like, you know, warm up the ghee nicely. Then you strain out the saffron, you know, strain everything out, and use couple of drops of that warm ghee into both your nostrils. That can almost instantly make one feel better.
So when do we add sugar in this?
So you add the sugar right when the ghee is melted. You add a couple of pinches of sugar. And you don't make it a chasni.
Sugar, or should we use mishri?
Yeah, so in Ayurveda, sorry, and I should clarify that. It's always, is whenever you can, you want to use mishri, right? Mishri powder. Yeah. And so you use that rock sugar, mishri powder, and then you put one strand of saffron, and then you just cool it, and you use those couple of drops at the onset of a migraine in both your nostrils. You know, Vasudha, have you heard that jalebis make people feel better?
Oh, yes, my God, you have no idea how many jalebis and dipped in lassi I've eaten just to cure my migraine.
Yeah, so it's exactly that same logic that this ghee has, right? So when you can't get your hands on the ghee and you can't do the nasyam, you do the jalebi. So saffron has this really amazing stimulating effect where all of that bubbles, the bubbly vata that's trapped in the head kind of gets rerouted downwards.
Very interesting. So, I must try it. Like, hopefully I don't get it again, but if I do, I'm going to try.
Yes, I'm hoping you don't get it again too, right? Because next thing I'm going to give you some really good lifestyle do's and don'ts that you can do, which I feel like really helps. So one of them is, I will tell you, of course, especially people prone with migraine, you want to get to bed early. It makes a really big difference. Even sleeping with water sounds in your room can help, right? So you want to try that, using jasmine fragrance in your room and sleeping with water sounds. Okay. Exposure to moonlight, right? And now this is where we can talk about moonlight, Vasudha, right?
Okay.
So you tell me, what does the moon do to the waves?
It pulls them in one direction.
Exactly, right? So they have a gravitational force. Now, similarly, according to our Vedic sciences, the moon has an impact on all the fluids of our body. Especially it has a cooling impact on our fluids. So now when one's body is this hot and humid body, you need that moon to bring out that shitalta, that little bit of coolingness that's required. So bathing in the moonlight, right, allows for your body, your fluids, your subtle hormones, your neurotransmitters to really have that impact from the moon and really cool itself down in that manner.
How interesting. And this moon bathing, we can do every night, or is this like a full moon thing?
It's more effective when you can see more of the moon, right? So full moon is, of course, the best, but even days around the full moon can work. But full moon night is typically ideal, right? So so of course, full moon is definitely recommended. But on days that we can't get full moon, you can work on days around the full moon. So I tell everybody, at least get a meditation or a walk. You know, when it's full moon, just go for a walk in the evening, like allow that time to cool your body down. So I find that very interesting. Going for a head abhyanga once in a week with Mahanarayana Taila or even Chandanadi, I like Mahanarayana even more. And then you can do pranayam, you can do Shitali pranayam or Anulom Vilom without holding
it. But without holding, okay, yes.
Yeah, and then avoiding fasting. And, you know, I do feel when these things are done and they're included and there's more rice and coconut included in the meals, more meals cooked in ghee and less spice and tomato gravies, within a couple of months, people start. And, of course, very important with this is to make sure you're not constipated. That the bowels are moving freely becomes very, very important. But of course, there are some really great herbal formulations as well, Ayurvedic formulations. I like to tell people that you want to work with a practitioner just so that there's supervision while you're taking these. But the ones that I find very effective are Pathyadi Kadha or Pathyadi Ghanavati. Kadha means a decoction, Ghanavati means a tablet. So Pathya is Haritaki, and Pathyadi is, you know, like Haritaki is widely used in many.
Okay.
So Pathyadi Kadha, it has Adi means etc. So it has Haritaki and other herbs that are used together to make this concoction. Because these kind of, you know, cleanse your system, keep everything routed downwards, prevent from that vata getting trapped in the hair, in the head region. Right? So that's Pathyadi. The other one is Sira Shuladi Vajra Rasa.
Okay.
Now this, I know that's a really long name, but again, I like to break it down so people remember. Sira is your head, right? So you can say Shira or Sira. Shula means pain. So it's headaches, etc. Adi is and. So Vajra Rasa. Now this is a metallic compound. It has, I mean, the metals are purified. In Ayurveda, we find them safe to use when done very well. It is very, very effective.
Okay. All right.
Depending on the dosage, every pharmacy that makes this has their own dosage written on it, depending on the size of the tablets, right? Usually take a couple of tablets at the onset, really, really works. But I do like to tell people to just, you know, even if it's one conversation with an Ayurvedic practitioner, to have it while you're taking these so that you feel like you're under some supervision, right? There's some things which I'm about to.
Any sort of pills and everything should be taken under medical supervision for sure.
Basically. But I'm also about to go into some home remedies that we can do after this.
Lovely.
And that you can do on your own, right? So then you can, the other two herbs that I really like are Kamadugha and Godanti Bhasma. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want to go into a lot of details for this, Vasudha, just because I feel like these are best done with a person.
Absolutely. People
might go and buy Pathyadi and Sirashuladi, and that's fine. You know, up to 3 months, you can use them on your own as well at the onset of migraines, not through the month. But the others, in the long term, you want to work with a practitioner, right? So now let's go into the home remedies.
Waiting for that. Excited.
So the first one was, of course, the ghee and the saffron and the sugar. I love that. Like, I love that saffron. If you're nervous about the sugar, only the sugar, put the ghee and the saffron and see what that does for you, right? But the second remedy is to take either tender jasmine leaves or pomegranate leaves. And to make a juice out of it.
There's so many different types of jasmine in India. Which one are we talking about? Are we talking about mogra?
Mogra.
Are we talking? Okay, all right.
Yeah, so Ayurveda has a great place for mogra. In all pitta disorders. Mm-hmm. We love mogra.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you want to use the mogra leaves, or when in doubt, use pomegranate leaves and make a juice out of it. Put one pinch of salt. And I like to always use Himalayan salt. One little pinch of Himalayan salt. And mix it well. And putting 2 to 3 drops in the nose. First thing in the morning, right? First thing in the morning. And then again, after 7-8 hours, you can use it again in the evening.
Oh,
that can help.
How do we take out, you know, how much juice should we? Well, you know, you can just kind of crush them together with a little bit of water and strain them, and that's your juice, is it?
Yes, that is your juice. That's exactly what your juice is. You know, earlier we used to use mortar and pestle. You know how you make chutney? You can actually juice a chutney also.
Yeah.
That's silbatta.
So
the silbatta is ideal for it, right?
Okay.
But of course, I mean, I don't expect everyone to kind of create this whole little, cyst set up in their home. So whatever works for you at that point. And this is why I love Ayurveda. It has a lot of flexibility in these things, actually. The other thing is durva. You know, you can actually get durva leaves. I know they're available in India quite easily.
Yes,
and you take juice of durva and adding 2 pinches of licorice to that juice of durva, right?
And licorice means muleti powder.
Muleti. Oh, I love how you are really top of your game with this stuff.
No.
You'll be surprised. There's a lot of people who actually don't know these things at all. But yeah, that really helps. So you take 1 fistful of durva grass, right? Mm-hmm. So you take one fistful of durva, and you take whatever juice you can get from 1 fistful. You add your 2 pinches of muleti, yashti madhu licorice, as Vasudha said, and you want to consume them in the noon hours, because when the sun is the highest, the impact of the migraine for a lot of people is the highest.
Right.
And this can be repeated for 20 to 30 days. And then the severity of the illness can be reduced significantly. So I think this is something, Vasudha, that you can do, you want to do right away.
Before the migraine, you know, the attacks begin or the season changes.
Exactly. I mean, actually, October is supposed to be not the greatest time. Depending on the type of migraine you have, it's Sharad Rutu, which is Pitta Kal, which means the time of Pitta. You know, Pitta is at its best. But for a lot of people, summer is worse. Sharad Rutu, this particular season, is not the best either, generally. Then the other thing is coriander seed powder, right? So you take dhana powder.
Mm-hmm.
And soak it overnight. So it's just kept in water. It's soaked overnight as is. So 1 teaspoon and 1 cup of water. It's left overnight. You strain it out in the morning, and you can drink that water on an empty stomach in the morning. And this can be done every day. People find a big difference.
Can be done with whole seeds also?
It can. I actually do it with whole seeds. Some people prefer at least half crushing the seeds, I would say, even if you just right there and then just kind of give it a 1 beat. So the seeds kind of start expressing their flavor right away.
Got it. Interesting. And this is not going to be too cooling for the system. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do that because I am feeling like a little, you know what? And also these days, I'm working too much and I'm being a little more angry than usual and whatever. So I'm feeling like the, little migraine. Maybe I'm going to start doing that from tonight. Super easy.
Yeah, super easy, right? So, but you want to do that and bring in the waterfall and the mogra, like bring in, you know, those little things make a very big difference, like the sounds of the water and the mogra with it. Mm. Like so much magic happens at night when we're sleeping, right? I mean, ahar, nidra, brahmacharya, the three pillars are food, sleep and brahmacharya. And we only pay attention to food most of the time, but sleep has great opportunity.
So true. So true. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're so right about the water sounds, because whenever I listen to ocean sounds or like rain sounds, it really makes me sleep well.
Yeah.
And I'm a Vatpit, you know, that's basically who I am.
Your constitution. Yeah, your constitution.
So my constitution, that's the word. Thank you. Yeah.
I would say that, like when I just see your features, like I can see that there was like an underlying Pitta in general. You know, and then of course I think Vata is kind of carried on somewhere in life, but I see that, at least that's what I see when I see you. Pitta is also actually, they are the most, they make the most impact in the world. They are the most successful people. And of course we all learn to balance our Pittas.
Yeah. Otherwise we'll burn out.
Otherwise you burn out. Exactly. And then the last one, other home remedy, is soaking 5 to 10 raisins, black raisins. You can, you know, so you want to soak them in water at night, and you can drink the water and you can eat the raisins. This will not only ensure that your body is cool, but it will also give you a good bowel movement, cleanse your stomach, avoid constipation, all of those great things.
That is so lovely, Nidhi. I mean, you have simplified everything so nicely, explained everything so clearly. I feel like, ultimately, you know, there's no guarantee when you'll get like a terrible, terrible, terrible migraine. And if I have to pop like a painkiller once or twice or thrice a year, that's okay. But I feel like if we do all of these things together, definitely over a period of time, you know, things will improve, and maybe, who knows, one day will come when, you know, we'll be able to completely, naturally, hopefully take care of the migraines. Wouldn't that be possible?
I honestly think, Vasudha, it can be possible. And I think what happens as a side effect of all of these remedies is overall you start experiencing, forget the migraines, right? Because the migraines have come from a space of either constipation, pitta, etc.
Symptom,
It have a domino effect on everything else in your well-being and physical, mental, digestive state.
Lovely. Okay, thank you so much, Nidhi. I'm so grateful for you sharing your knowledge with us. Thank you for joining us, guys. This is Nidhi Pandya, who is talking to us about migraines.
Thank you so much, Vasudha.
Holistic Healing Season 2 with Vasudha Rai.